was I supposed to click on there? It's coming up. Anyway. They have to wait. What's it took? I can introduce you. Okay, here it comes. Okay, our next talk is Erin Cooper, and she's going to discuss participation and practices in non-prescription syringe sales, specifically in LA and San Francisco. Good afternoon. My name is Erin Cooper, and I'm a master's student at Cal State University, Dominguez Hills, and I also work at the Urban Community Research Center with Dr. Bluthenthal. Today, again, I will present the objectives and findings from the study, Participation Practices in Non-Prescription Syringe Sales by Pharmacies in Los Angeles and San Francisco in 2007. And again, my pet name for the study is Pharmacist Discretion Advised. I would like to acknowledge my colleagues who again are here, are present today, and Dr. Bluthenthal, who is my mentor, who is not feeling well. I have no relationships to disclose. So just a little background on Senate Bill SB 1159. The Disease Prevention and Demonstration Project, which gives pharmacists the discretion to sell syringes without a prescription. As Rich mentioned earlier, the pharmacies must first register with their local health jurisdictions and in order to sell the syringes. And also, a pharmacist can sell up to 10 syringes to a customer who is at least 18 years of age or older. The trifold objectives of the study included documenting if pharmacists in Los Angeles and San Francisco were participating in the DPDP. Also, what were these pharmacists' attitudes towards the sale of non-prescription syringes, and what factors were associated with pharmacists participating in DPDP? The research team conducted a total of 238 telephone and in-person interviews with pharmacy staff in San Francisco and Los Angeles. On account of San Francisco's condensed geographic area, all pharmacies in San Francisco were selected. As far as the Los Angeles area pharmacists, they were selected based on areas with elevated publicly funded drug treatment admissions. So we chose those pharmacies based on zip codes where more individuals were accessing drug treatment. Some of the survey items included the pharmacy's registration status with the local health jurisdiction or their knowledge of being registered, so whether the pharmacy was registered or not. Another survey item documented the number of syringes that were sold without a prescription. The survey items also explicitly documented the non-prescription syringe sales transaction environment. So basically, what conditions or requirements were placed on the sale. Also, what conditions may or may not have contributed to a refusal sale. Therefore, the survey goal was to explore the attitudes and behaviors of the pharmacists in regards to selling non-prescription syringes. As far as our statistical analysis, we used a descriptive, bivariate, and multivariate analysis in order to assess the variations in DPDP participation and experiences in Los Angeles and San Francisco. We also used a multivariate analysis of factors associated with selling syringes by pharmacies. We also performed that as well. Of the 238 pharmacists that were surveyed in 2007, 67 of the pharmacies were San Francisco pharmacies, and 171 were Los Angeles pharmacies, with a total response rate of 72%. In our study, we found that 3/4 of all the pharmacies in San Francisco were registered with their local health jurisdiction to sell non-prescription syringes, while less than 1/4 of all the pharmacies selected in Los Angeles were registered. As far as the requirements, 9 out of 10 of the pharmacies in Los Angeles reported selling syringes without a prescription, imposed some sort of requirement from the customer. So basically, they would ask for some kind of identification, or let's see here, some sort of identification, or some sort of making sure the customer showed their age. 6 out of 10 of the pharmacists in San Francisco required a person to show proof of age, and less than 7 out of 10 Los Angeles pharmacists required the customer to sign a logbook, even though SB 1159 does not impose this measure. Moreover, these requirements can be found as impediments or obstacles to intravenous drug users' utilization of pharmacies in order to access syringes. Let's see. San Francisco pharmacies were more likely to provide drug treatment information, HIV, hepatitis C testing information, and syringe disposal information to their customers than LA pharmacies. In San Francisco, the refusal rate was a lot lower as far as them refusing to sell on at least one occasion. Among the Los Angeles pharmacies, let's see, some of the top reasons for refusing to sell included a customer being intoxicated, the customer is a known intravenous drug user, or there was a safety concern. And among the San Francisco pharmacies, some of the top reasons for refusing to sell included a safety concern, customer appeared intoxicated, or there was a risk of theft. Overall, most of the Los Angeles and San Francisco pharmacists did not report any problems or negative consequences resulting from the sale of non-prescription syringes. Some of the attitudes associated with selling, interestingly enough, with selling syringes were the same among pharmacists who did sell as well as those who did not sell. So we thought that was pretty interesting that we still have in the area feeling that syringe access is important is an attitude that is associated with selling syringes, whether the pharmacy considered themselves a selling pharmacy of non-prescription syringes or not, or a non-selling pharmacy of prescription syringes. As far as the demographics of the pharmacies, among Los Angeles and San Francisco pharmacies, chains were more likely to sell non-prescription syringes than independent pharmacies. And pharmacies that were located inside of a grocery store were also more likely to sell than those located in a hospital. And as far as the grocery store, I'd like to mention that there was no difference found if the grocery store had its own pharmacy or if there was like a Save-On or something inside of Albertsons. There really wasn't a difference. It's just as far as this grocery store versus a hospital. So some of the independent factors of the study in regards to the independent factors that were associated with the selling of non-prescription syringes, pharmacists that thought syringe access was important to intravenous drug users were 3 times more likely to sell syringes without a prescription. Some of the limitations of the study included the fact that all the data was self-reported from the pharmacy staff. A lot of times couldn't always talk to the pharmacy manager, so there may have been a pharmacy technician who wasn't always aware of the pharmacy policies and practices. Even though maybe the chain have been registered with the DPDP, maybe at that frontline level, those individuals weren't always knowledgeable of the practices. Another limitation was the fact that San Francisco's implementation of DPDP happened a lot sooner in 2005 versus in Los Angeles in 2007. And during the time when we were doing a lot of the Los Angeles interviews, the Harm Reduction Coalition was also going out and trying to get pharmacists to register. So it was almost like a simultaneous type of advocacy versus us just trying to assess, what was going on at that time. So given this contextual difference in implementation timeline, city differences between Los Angeles and San Francisco could possibly fade over time. So in conclusion, San Francisco pharmacies, as compared to Los Angeles pharmacies, were more likely to participate in the disease prevention demonstration project. The San Francisco pharmacies were also more likely to sell non-prescription syringes with fewer restrictions or requirements or some type of condition, or even just requesting that they, if the person's a diabetic, and they also, a lot of the pharmacies told us that they were given like a diabetic test or a quiz to make sure that a person was a diabetic. So we found that in San Francisco, there were a lot less restrictions. By reinforcing and highlighting the need for syringe access, by encouraging pharmacies in California counties to sell non-prescription syringes with fewer limitations, this may increase the overall effectiveness of pharmacy participation in the disease prevention demonstration project. So hopefully, if we can not only get them to participate in the DPDP, but also loosen a lot of those restrictions or conditions as far as signing a logbook or a person, again, trying to pass the diabetic test, just kind of maybe loosen a lot of those restrictions to make the pharmacy access a lot more accessible to the population that it's there to serve. As far as our acknowledgments, I'd just like to acknowledge the State Office of AIDS, our Urban Community Research Center, students and our research associates and Dr. Blumenthal's sociology class that performed, they actually did a lot of the actual phone interviews. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Erin, for that perspective from the pharmacist. That was right on time, because that was my question after the first two presentations. Let's hear what the pharmacist has to say. Next, we are going to Tom Stopka, right? Oh, wait, no, this says Cooper, that's not right.
This says Stopka.
This says Stopka.